Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie.
All right, we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. We're looking at today 2 Corinthians 9:15. What is happening here? Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth. He is currently in Macedonia at Philippi. He's on his third missionary journey, and he is sending this letter ahead of him because they have discussed among these Gentile churches a great need of the church in Jerusalem. They are needing help financially, and they are going to gather a gift and take this gift that Paul has collected on this journey and take it to the church at Jerusalem. And so when Paul talks about, writes about this plan to give and to gather for the needs of the church at Jerusalem, he says about this service, this blessing, this ministry. He says in verse 12 of chapter 9, "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want or the lack of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you in the exceeding grace of God in you." Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, how thankful we ought to be. Lord, we ought to be ready to meet Christ. And Father, one day we're going to see your blessed Son. We're going to see the scars that have been pierced for every soul who's ever walked on this planet. And God, we will have the privilege, the opportunity to receive you now and to ever adore you in heaven so bright. And God, I pray for the filling of your Spirit this morning, in relaying the word of God to each that's gathered here, and the word as it goes forth over the internet, and those who've gathered in our live stream service, Father, as well there. I pray you'd fill my dear wife with your Spirit and those in the nursery watching the children. I thank you, dear God, for the services already where the word has been given to the adults and children in our Sunday school classes here. Help us to heed it. And God, I pray that your name would be lifted up today, that Jesus Christ would be glorified today, and that our hearts might be turned to adore you more and to love you more. And from that love, that there would be a bold and courageous and holy service pour forth in our generation, as we're given opportunities, dear God, to serve and glorify you. Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you for all you've done, all that you're doing, all you continue to do, and especially, dear God, for all that you are in your own very being. And Father, we pray, and we ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to look this morning for a while at the gift of all gifts. The gift of all gifts. The first commandment is that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus said that we are to worship Him, worship God. Also, it is written, Him only shalt thou worship. What? Him only what? Shalt thou serve? And you can look that up in Mark 4:10 and Luke 4:8. But the idea of worship and service go together. They're really inseparable. And anybody who's going to preach from the Bible, the Word of God, you're going to be covering both of those if you're true to the Bible, because it's filled with it. See, there's the service. That's our actions. There's the worship. That's our attitude. From what kind of a heart do these things come forth? We're all here in this building, or here in church this morning. Hopefully we're here for the right reasons. Amen? God is looking more at why we came than the fact that we're here, okay? There are some who would love to be here, but they can't be. And God sees that, amen? And we try to address both from the Word of God. We have, many times we address how the Word of God shows us how to live and what to do in our actions. And we've had multiple messages like that. Recently, we had seen that the honor of honor, how we can live an honorable life, we saw last week, that will impact those that are around us. As we honor God, the Bible says God will honor us and give us opportunities to serve Him. Before that, we saw your fixed fight of faith, that we are to run and rest and wrestle in this faith that has been given to us. The week before that, we saw God's mission for your mind, for our minds, how we're supposed to even have a watch over our thoughts. Brother Dennis talked this morning about being diligent, being ready for the Lord's coming, and all these things have this idea of this temperance that we are to submit to the Holy Spirit. Remember, the number one enemy is where? Within. It's your fallen flesh and my fallen flesh. That's our number one enemy. There's always a battle to fight. But this morning in the Word of God, we're going to turn, and just 99% of this message is we're just going to consider God and His gift. Brother Brian began that this past week in the Wednesday night study, the basis of our salvation. And he began with 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He, God, hath made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We meditate on that for a while. That'll impact your life. Amen. And Brother Brian ended the lesson this past Wednesday with John 1:12. As many as what? Received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. God handed us Himself in a body. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He died for our sins and rose again, went back up to heaven, and now God offers us heaven from His hand. How? Just by faith. Just by receiving Him. That's the kind of God that made us. By the way, that's the kind of God that made us after His image. Amen. We serve a wonderful and a mighty God. My heart about jumped out of my throat when we read that this, when we sang that this morning. I'll ever adore him in mansions so bright. Folks, you and I aren't going to be the centerpiece of heaven, all right? Jesus Christ, we're going there to worship him, amen. And love him and serve him. The gift of all gifts. The gift of all gifts. Number one, Jesus Christ is the gift of all gifts because, number one, because of the giver. Because of the giver. Thanks be what? Unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know, many people want to be angry at God because he judges sin. Well, he's a righteous God and sin must be judged. But we forget that God is the one who gave his Son to deliver us from the penalty that we deserve. That's our God. That's our God. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him, what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. By the way, the sermon today is 99.9% scripture. I just went down through it. There's a lot of scripture even for me this morning, okay? We're pretty much just going to be reading the Bible together, okay? What could God... Listen, God gave his Son. Who could give Christ but God? Amen. No one but God. We must not forget. Through Christ we learn of the Father. Through Christ we see that God is love. God gave his Son. And as we think about this for a moment, let's consider that though God was not worshipped, he gave. Though God was not worshipped, he gave. Amos chapter 5 and verse 25. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chion, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. God chose out a special nation to worship him in the Old Testament, and to be a shadow or a showing forth of the coming of Christ. But did they worship him as they should have? No, they didn't. And we fail at that sometimes too, don't we? We've sung, I'll ever adore him, and sometimes we don't. But what happened? Our God still gave, didn't he? And by the way, he knew all this ahead of time. Our God still gave. Though he was not worshipped, he gave. What else do we see about our amazing God? Though he was not honored, he gave. Though he was not honored, he gave. Malachi 1:6, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name? And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? They'd taken lightly the commandments of God. He wasn't honored. But my God gave. My God still gave. We continue thinking about our God. Though he was not heeded, he gave. Though he was not heeded, Romans 3:10. As it is written, what? There's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. God was not heeded. Yet he gave. And this one, to me, is the most amazing. God, well, getting ahead of myself, the next one. We'll look at this one. God was not honored even in the very act of giving. He wasn't honored as a person. And when they gave their offerings, he wasn't honored in their offerings. And yet he gave. Malachi 1:8, and if you offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord God of hosts. What'd they do? They gave him the leftovers. Yet he gave. Yet he gave. There's times I just give God the leftovers in my life. More than I'd like to admit. And if we're honest, we all do that at times, don't we? And yet what? We just sang that on old rugged cross. Where the dearest and best. That's what God gave. That's what God gave. That's our God. He wasn't honored in the very act of giving. And yet he gave. And yet he gave. And then this one. Though God was not loved, he gave. Though God was not loved, he gave. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Did you get that? I'll never get over that. John 15:24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen what? And hated both me and my Father. And yet my God gave. My God gave. He is an amazing God. Jesus Christ is the gift of all gifts because of the giver. Secondly, who is God? Jesus Christ is the gift of all gifts. Is the gift of all gifts because of the gift? Because of the gift. Look what, or should we say, who God gave. Amen. He gave himself. He gave his blessed Son. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And we have John 3:16 again, for God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son. He gave the best. He gave the best. In 1 John 5:11, for when you were without strength, in due time, Christ died for what? The ungodly. And Romans 5:8, God commended his love toward us in that what? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. This is who God gave. What an amazing thing. This gift of eternal life. He gave us his Son. God has given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. So when he gives us Jesus, he gives us the gift of eternal life. Because life is in him. Let's just think about this gift for a moment here. Eternal life is a voluntary gift. God didn't say, well, I just got to do it. That's not true. He didn't have to do any of this. He only did it, why? Because of his love for his creation, those who made it in his image. It's an undeserved gift. Romans 5:6, you without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Eternal life is an eternal gift. In John chapter 10, verse 17, I'm getting ahead of myself here. A voluntary gift. It's a voluntary gift. John 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Totally voluntary. God had that conference with the Godhead that we can never explain. And said, now son, you can call it off anytime you want. You have the power to lay it down. You have the power to take it again. Jesus, nobody takes it from me. I lay it down. I've received this from the Father. And yet what? He gave that voluntarily. He left the splendor of heaven. What? Knowing his destiny. Was a lonely hill called Golgotha there to have his life taken for me? No. There to lay down his life for me. Willingly. Because he loved me. It's a voluntary gift. Eternal life is a free gift. It's a free gift. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. You know, most of the world has that wrong. Many who label themselves under Christianity have that wrong. They think you're earning you can earn heaven some way. You can't do it. We can't earn heaven by our works. God offers it one way, as a gift. And a gift what? You just have to receive humbly. We already saw it's undeserved gift. It's a voluntary gift. It's a free gift. Romans 3, 23 and 24 are two of my most favorite verses in the Bible. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How? But what's the cure? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. For me to be accepted of God is for me simply to accept his Son. If I will receive his Son by faith and accept that gift humbly, God will accept me fully for all eternity because of his Son. Because he gave him for me. He gave him for me. For all of us. Acts 16, 31, you might remember when Paul and Silas were in prison there. And they sang praises to God in the midst of their trials, and the earthquake came and the prison doors were opened and the jailer pulled the sword to thrust it through himself, thinking if some of the prisoners escape, his life would be taken. And Paul and Silas stopped him. No, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And he grabbed the light and sprung into that dingy dungeon where Paul and Silas and the rest were, and took him out and says, sirs, why is there so much confusion over the question of what it takes to be saved when the Bible tells us plainly? Right. Sirs, Acts 16, 30 and 31, what must I do to be saved? Can you get any clearer than that? Now, what's going to follow is going to be very important, amen? What's the answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's it. What a gift. What a gift. By the way, when he says, and thy house, what he's saying is, and if your house believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be saved too. And by the way, they did. Amen. His whole house believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Amen. Receiving. Receiving. That gift. Eternal life is a free gift. Eternal life is, in fact, an eternal gift. It's an eternal gift. Hebrews 9:12. Neither we're not saved, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. What kind of redemption? Eternal redemption. We don't have a temporary redemption. We don't have a probational redemption. Well, we'll see how well you do afterwards. It's not that kind of redemption. It's eternal. It's forever. God only gives one kind of life, and it's eternal life. You say, I know, well, yeah, preacher, but that's talking about the quality. I know it's also talking about the quality of life, but it doesn't divorce it from the length of life either. It's eternal. That definition still stays with the word. You can add to it, and it does also mean the quality of eternal life or spiritual life. Yes, that's a gift, but it's still eternal. You can't take the eternal out of the definition either. They both go together, amen? And by the way, I wouldn't want any other kind of eternal life, but a spiritual. I lived the life I wanted to longer than I wanted to, now that I realize what it was. Eternal life is an eternal gift. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You believe on the Son, you have everlasting life. How long does everlasting last? Forever. 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 Thank God. What a gift. What a gift. Jesus told them, the disciples, that they were to go to all nations. They were to teach to all nations, Matthew 28 and 20 following, and they were to be teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, what? Even unto the end of the world. He's with us forever. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Amen. I'm looking forward to heaven. I don't deserve to be there, but I tell you something, I'm sure looking forward to being there. It's going to be a wonderful, glorious time. Every day when I wake up, I still have Jesus with me. And by the way, so do you if you're born again. Amen. Eternal life. This gift, what a gift. Something else about this gift. This gift is eternal life is an indescribable gift. It's an indescribable gift. We think about this gift. It is indescribable, first of all, in value. 1 Peter 1:18, Peter is talking about the price that this gift cost in 1 Peter 1:18, 19. You weren't redeemed with corruptible things, 1 Peter 1:18, 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, what? As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What could be more valuable than the blood of Christ? We can't put a price on that. What a gift. Indescribable in value. What he gave is not only indescribable in value, it is indescribable in virtue. We think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. In him, what? Jesus Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We worship Jesus, amen. We worship Jesus. Jesus said, "You believe in me, you believe in God? Believe in me also." The same way, with all reverence and honor and worship, that you believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ also, because He's one with the Father. Amen. And for now, God the Father has set Him forth to be exalted and worshipped and glorified, and that the name of Jesus, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's His plan for right now. All the world fall down before Him. We worship Jesus. Thomas saw those scars in his hand and in that side. He had the chance to believe by faith, but he didn't do it. Jesus appeared to him and showed him the scars. And what did Thomas say? "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Thomas, because thou hast believed, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Amen. And Jesus Christ is my God. Amen. I worship Him. And I'm thankful that He saved me. Indescribable in virtue. In 1 John 3:5, the Scripture says, "And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins." I don't know if I can put that one on there or not. No. "And you know He is manifested to take away our sins. And in Him," what? "Is no sin," in 1 John 3:5. No sin. Nothing impure in Him. The thief on the cross had to say, "This man hath done nothing amiss." Nothing out of place. Nothing wrong. Perfect. It's indescribable in virtue, this gift. Think about it yet again. It is indescribable in vitality. Jesus Christ is the very giver of life. 1 John 5:12 tells us, "He that hath the Son," what? "Hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." There's some kind of shows on now where people, you know, the Walking Dead and stuff like that. I hope you don't watch stuff like that. There's crazy stuff on like that. A lot of the kids are watching that kind of stuff. But you know, the sad thing spiritually is, if you're not born again, you are the walking dead. You're not even living yet. You're one breath away from the wrath of God. That's where you are right now if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. But God is holding that gift down. "Whosoever, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to the authority to become the sons of God, even them that," what? One word. "Believe on His name." Amen. Means to trust in Him. You don't have to stay dead. Okay? Amen. Believe and live. Believe and live. A few more words about life. John 6:33. "The bread of God is He which came down from heaven," what? "And giveth life unto the world." Acts 13:39. "And by Him," Jesus Christ, "all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." My friend, if you can't be justified by Moses' list of do and don'ts, you ain't going to be justified by yours, okay? It's got nothing to do with our works. And by the way, I understand Moses got his from God, but that was given to show us how guilty we were. And convince us of our need for the gift, amen? In Romans 5:18, "Therefore, by the offense of one," Adam, "judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. All men are offered to be justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus," what? "If they'll only believe." Amen. It's that simple. Yet that powerful. Yet that precious. and this life-giving Christ. Paul in Galatians 2:20 wrote, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. I'm so glad that when I trusted Christ as my Savior, He didn't tell me, well, you're saved now. You got a home in heaven. Let's see how well you do. I'll see you up there. That's not what happened. Amen. He came what to live in me and you, every one of us, if you're born again. And guess what? One of my favorite thoughts. I'm stuck with him, and so are you. I don't feel too. Sometimes I feel sorry for him because he's stuck with me. But I tell you what, I'm thankful that I'm stuck with him. Amen. No, but I know he loves me. He loved me while I hated him, while I was his enemy. He didn't love me because of anything that came from me towards him. That's for sure, okay? Any love that we have towards him, he puts in us. Think about that. If you made some creatures and they wouldn't have a single thought about you unless you reached down and drew them to you. You know what we'd say? Hey, what's the use? I'm not even going to bother with them. That's what we'd say. That's not what God did. God said, they're not going to have a thought about me unless I draw them. But I will draw them, and when I draw them, I will enable them to receive me and believe. And they won't have a thought about it until I make the first move. But when they do, I will draw them. And they still won't heed as they ought. They still won't love as they ought. They still won't honor as they ought. And I will pour all of myself out for them and guarantee them a home in heaven. And they can walk as close as they want to with me in this life and have a fullness of joy and the fullness of all the fruits of the Spirit in their life as much as they really want to. They can have it all. Right here. But I will never leave him. What a God, amen. What a God, what a Savior. What a Savior. His gift fully met our need. Sometimes we get a gift and it's like, well, okay, but didn't really need one of those, you know. And so it sits in the corner, not salvation, amen. There's nothing we needed more than that. If I give my wife a gift, I don't give her flowers. She doesn't want flowers. Because in her mind, I know flowers are beautiful. And some people like flowers. And would want them to, you know, have them, you know, you come home and there could be so many gifts of flowers that they can't even see their house and they'd be happy they all came. Okay, I understand that. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. They're beautiful. Amen. But my wife just doesn't care for flowers. She sees them perish so quickly and thinks about the money that they cost and says, buy me something else. So I do. You know, and my next step is dark chocolate. Okay, that'll work. But see, flowers aren't efficacious for her. They don't get it doesn't get the job done. Now the dark chocolate, it does the job, okay? What we needed is who we needed, amen? The Bible says about our Lord Jesus Christ, but of him, God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Everything we need. As Courtney has written, that he that glorieth what? Let him glory in the Lord. Amen. What's the one song say? When you'll find that he's all you have, you'll find he's all you need. I mean, he's all you have, you'll find he is all you need. And sometimes we don't realize that until we get in a hard place in life. And nothing else will seem to satisfy but to know what that he's there. And that I can call upon his name and he'll give me the wisdom I need for that decision I have to make. And he's there. He's there to meet our need. This giver of life He'll justify us by His salvation, by His redemption. He lives the life through us by His power. But He's also what? Going to be the one who judges life in the end of time. Amen. And rightly so. Acts 17:31, He, God, hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained or appointed, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and He hath raised Him from the dead. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Who's God going to judge all men by? Jesus Christ. He's going to be the judge. The Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son, Jesus said. Finally, Jesus Christ is the gift of all gifts because of the giving. Because of the giving. And here there's an application for us. We worship Him. We think about who He is. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. But I want you to understand that when we get born again, God puts His Spirit in our heart. And He begins to transform us. And what was happening here at this time was God's Spirit was working through all of these believers. And they were in such great need. And what was God doing? Did Jesus Christ go away? No, He was living in their hearts. And He was working and giving for those people to gather those gifts and to meet those needs. Who was doing that? Jesus Christ, through all of those believers and churches. See, God's giving didn't stop. And I've seen it in this church. And you've seen it in any church that loves Jesus, amen, because He still gives through us, amen, doesn't He? He still gives through us. It's been amazing to see what God still gives through His people, because that's Him living in us. That's Jesus Christ living in us. Paul says, thanks be to God. And this giving in Acts 20:35, I've showed you all things, how so laboring you ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And time and again, we see God's people who are born again, who love Jesus, giving what? Of their time and their talents and their treasures, even in a sacrificial way, even in many times when they're going through a difficult time themselves, and we step back and say, in awe, and say, Christ is still here in me and in you, given to one another, and ministering to one another, so the lost can come in, so believers can be strengthened. And it's Jesus, it's God working in it. How else could this happen, amen? It's God. It's God working in us. We think about this. Paul's amazed at this giving. We think about the time. Many had given their possessions and lands in the inception of the gospel to meet the needs of the multitudes who had flocked to Jerusalem for the feast of the Pentecost. Many of these remained in Jerusalem because of the preaching and power of the gospel of Christ. In Acts 4:33, with great power they gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Who did that? The Holy Spirit did. That's not socialism. Nobody commanded them to give of their stuff. They didn't make a law and say, well, we're going to take so much of your pay and give it to the poor. That didn't happen there, okay? That's not socialism. Some people try to go to the Bible and say God was teaching socialism. Absolutely not. God was showing them something the world can't do. He was showing them some transformed hearts, amen. Because Jesus Christ was still living in those hearts, amen. And the one who gave all of Himself was still giving through them and ministering to others. What a blessing. What a God we worship, amen. What a God we have to adore. This is the God we're going to live with for all eternity if you're born again, okay? And I welcome you. If you're not, don't hold back. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, please. Don't go another day in your sin. Ask Him to forgive you and save you and believe that He is the Son of God. Died and rose again. The wonder of this giving. That such a need would be met. The wonder that this gift would be sent to Jerusalem from afar. The wonder that such giving would take place between the Jews and the Gentiles. The wonder that such compassion would be the motive for this giving. What a wonder that the Jewish Christians would be so would so long for fellowship with these Gentile believers who had given so wondrously because of their mutual faith in Christ. All of the Spirit working these things out. They are rejoicing in the fruitfulness of the disciples who are giving as the Spirit directs. Rejoicing in this faith of Christ. The messengers can't wait to deliver the gift. The givers can't wait to give the gift and collect it. Those who receive it are so humbled by people they don't even know across the sea. They're bringing gifts into them to feed the poor and the widows and to help them. And God is orchestrating all of this, and they're all dumbfounded at the power and grace of God. An unspeakable gift. What an amazing thing. They're rejoicing in the fruitfulness of the disciples. They're rejoicing in the faith of Christ. They can't wait to deliver the gift. They're rejoicing and thankful to God of receiving the gift. They're thankful for the love behind the gift. Throughout the civilized world, prayers and praises are ascending to God. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:12 carefully. For the administration of this service not only supplieth one of the saints, but is abundant also what? By many thanksgivings unto God. And look at see if I got it. I don't know if I got the right address there. 2 Corinthians 9:12. I read the wrong one. 2 Corinthians 9:12. Look at it, 9:12. For the administration of this service not only supplieth one of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving, what? Unto God. Giving thanks unto God. Verse 13, while by the experiment of this ministration they give thanks unto God, he says, and by their prayer for you, verse 14, which long after you in the exceeding grace of God in you. It's just God doing this in you and through you. They're recognizing that all this is coming, not from human sympathy, not from human compassion. This is miraculous. This is the grace of God in them. This is the one who died for us and rose again, living in us. Living in us. And what a joy we have to rejoice in that. Matter of fact, Jesus said what? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, and that goes with this thought. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. It's going to be better for you when I go away. You know why? Because when I go away, I'm coming back to live in you forever. And I'm going to move your heart. And I'm going to give through you and labor through you and use you for my glory. He said it's actually going to be better. We actually have it better now than the disciples did when Jesus walked upon the earth. Because we have the indwelling Spirit. We have Christ living in us to direct us every step of the way. Jesus said in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Did you get that? He's not talking about greater miracles. Nobody can do a greater miracle than raising yourself from the dead, okay? He's talking about actually works that in that where we can impact maybe even more people. Jesus can impact more people through us than he did personally while he walked upon the earth. Because we're sending, we go everywhere, we send missionaries out, and Christ is in us everywhere we go. Amen. We think about that. He wants us to be fruitful. The giving continues of our time, talents, and treasure. I thought about that. And I thought about God calls us and compares us to wheat. When we think about wheat, the golden in John 12:24. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And I think about that wheat. Wheat, it turns golden. It turns golden when it grows to maturity. And when it matures, the weight of the grain causes the wheat to bow. I like that. What did Job say? When I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. When we get a hold of these things and we adore the one who saved us and we begin to worship him, that's both the adoration and the attitude and the action, the adoration and the service. Because we realize who he is, we love him the more, and we worship him. He tries us and tries our faith and purifies us. So why? So people see more of him and less of us. Amen. And Job said, when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. And by the way, he's actually referring to the maturity that he had reached already. God permitted him to be tried. And God said that Job was faithful too through that trial. Now we understand Job learned some things through that. Nonetheless, God testified of Job's faithfulness. Amen. Job was found faithful in that trial. And he did come forth as gold in that sense. And when we realize the importance of that honor we talked about last week, having the impact, like that wheat, you know what we'll do? We'll bow our hearts to God. Amen. The Apostle Paul thought about the impact of the gospel and he said this, who's sufficient for these things? Life or death, heaven or hell, is all dependent upon who reaches out and takes that gift. Because God made it a gift. There's no reason for a single person to go to hell. Not a one. God never sends anyone to hell. They choose that themselves by refusing his gift. But yet it's such an important decision, isn't it? Because all of eternity weighs on it. And we look at that and we say, oh my goodness, and I'm to take this message? And we rightly so say, who am I? What wisdom or persuasion or strength or worthiness do I have to share that message? And the answer is zero, amen. But who's the one that goes with us? Jesus, amen. He's the one that makes us fit because he'll work through us. He'll draw them just like he drew you and I as we shared the gospel. And he'll give us the grace and the power to do that. And souls will be saved, lives will be changed, and we'll serve him. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me, the song says. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for your love to us, and I thank you for Jesus Christ, your blessed Son. And we know that one day you're going to return in glory. And we may not be home to our earthly house today. We may be home to our heavenly house. And that would be okay. We know you're coming back. But I do pray that you would help us, dear God. We're left here to adore you and to serve you out of that adoration. And I do pray that you would help us do that more and more. We all know very painfully our own failures in that. But, oh God, there ought not to be a one of us that doesn't have the heart of the Apostle Paul, that we want to draw closer to thee and be more like Jesus Christ. And I pray that our hearts would yearn for that in prayer. Dear God, that our hearts would search for that in the Scriptures, God, and be listening to the Spirit, and that we would yield to you and do those things that are hard to do by your grace and by your power and through faith in you. And Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name.